resonant with all sorts of wonderful things there. Tallulah Randall, trust in me. Well, we did, Tallulah, but you didn't manage to reach us, or we didn't manage to reach you. That's the joys of things. I don't know, with Anna Lewis having challenges in Jersey and then Gabriella going Echo in Gibraltar, you might have thought, what sort of programme are they putting together? Well, we're doing a very good one, because that's what it's all about. Interesting sartorial wear that Mr. Wiley is putting together, because he's got a very interesting T-shirt on, which has got original on, which he is, of course. It's original.
He is.
Super dry.
I do like Mr. Wiley's Twitter profile.
It's very impressive. Yes.
All tweeties are my own.
Exactly.
They are, Craig.
Not done by any kind of robot.
No, they're all from him.
Or troll. Genuine sort of lines on that. And you can hear more from Craig Wiley, rhymes with smiley, at 7 o'clock this evening.
Did you also know that Craig can eat a whole cheesecake to himself?
Too much information.
Good authority there.
2 minutes past seven. That's when Craig Wiley takes the whole thing through. We hopefully will be featuring Phil Leonis next. Then again, we may not. Either way, keeping the magical midsummer moment going, here's Percy.
Oh, lovely.
From the world of California, Phil Leonis writes, someone from Siren FM tried to call me quite early. Quite early. It was only 5 or 6 minutes earlier than we would normally actually call. They crashed my system in the process. Oh, no.
Slapped wrist, Mr. Lefchuk.
So, as I reboot, if they call me back, you can hear me live on Alex Levchuk's Top Notch Midweek Drive any moment now.
Yeah, since when do you have to reboot a telephone?
I smell a device here.
I do think
it's the dramatic entry, which obviously has got, you know, a show business antecedents and
diva, I say.
Well, yeah, the possibility. But, you know, whether we might just get the voicemail.
Here we go.
This sounds good. This sounds very healthy. I had erasure all lined up and ready to go as well. You know, I had all this.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like it's in the bath.
It sounds a bit woolly, doesn't it? Where's he gone now? What's he trying to do? Whoa!
Oh, here we go.
There we are. Fiddling us underwater and sorting through without a system that's been crashed. Welcome to the midweek drive, Phil. How are you, sir?
I am running through one of the three computers that I have operating right now because I've got several big-time projects going on, but at this moment I'm doing a seek and destroy. Well, not destroy. The destroy happened first. Now I'm doing the seek of a document that has just gone missing. It's not in any recycle bin on any of the networked computers. It just literally has vanished, and this is the second time this year that this particular document has done a disappearing trick. So it could be anywhere. It could be on the mobile device. It could be on the tablet, on the laptop, on the G5 tower. We don't know where it could be, but it's got to be somewhere. And you know why it's got to be somewhere? Because I can't recreate it. So it's got to be somewhere.
It will be somewhere. We'll get the Guardians of the Galaxy on the case, Phil. We'll get Stephanie Kramer's Dee Dee McCall character to sort of work through the files. Of course, they never really had that problem because the computers they used in Hunter, the TV series, were very basic. We were talking Space Invaders thing here, and it was nice to see that Sergeant Dee Dee McCall could actually do the thing quite effectively in her own way. But even she might have had difficulty if it had actually gone through the Leonis wormhole effect and caused problems. And there was I all set to with Tara Bennett's...
What were the years that Hunter ran?
That would be 1984 to 1991, Phil.
Yes, absolutely. And near the end of that run, Alex, and I'm glad you asked, when I was at UCLA, I think I had either just finished film school or I was still in film school, but either way, I was paying off my film school and my student loans by working at UCLA doing media design.
Paying off your student loans in America? Good grief.
I know. What was I thinking?
It'll never cross over to that.
I was just trying to make some beer money. But the point is that I would occasionally coordinate certain aspects of professional film shoots when they would come to UCLA because they would use the campus quite often for these things. John Singleton shot there. In fact, I think he may have directed this episode of Hunter. This might have been it. But anyway, there was an episode of Hunter that was being shot at UCLA at the time, and so we were helping to coordinate it. But my method of helping was that I set up a speaker system, and I kept trying to distract Fred Dreyer during the shoot by recreating famous calls, play-by-play calls, from some of his football exploits.
Hut, 24, so, 36, 44, N.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I would make the calls, like Dreyer blitzes the right side, you know, and blows up the play. I mean, it was very exciting, and it was childish. Yeah. So much fun. So much fun to do. And honestly, so if he betrayed any emotion, which was never his strong suit as an actor, if he betrayed any emotion in one particular episode, maybe I'm responsible.
I'm speechless with respect to that sequence there, which clearly we will have to take up. In fact, I think we should actually get Fred Dreyer on the show to actually work through the whole sequence. But
you know, Fred Dreyer for some reason was my mother's favorite television star of the time.
Look, so, you know, in those immortal words which have echoed this show rather like a spinal cord.
Works for me.
Exactly. It's tremendous. It was either that.
Didn't he have in Hunter kind of a taciturn, small screen Clint Eastwood kind of thing going on?
I think so. I mean,
yes,
I think
he did.
Certainly, we're talking Dirty Harry, the small screen version. I think Stephen Cannell and the team, Roy Huggins, of course, who were part of TV royalty, very much at the end of that. And as I say, once I've actually worked my way through the full seven seasons of Hunter, I'm just one and a half seasons through at present. I'll be able to give you a full breakdown on that. I felt it was only right when Stephanie was actually joining on the show that I could reacquaint myself with some of the classic material that she's produced.
American shows make it hard to binge watch, don't they?
Exactly.
Well, with 22, 24 episodes a year, it's very, very challenging.
Yeah.
That's why it's so much better to binge watch British television.
And let's face it, if we're talking double act, Starsky and Hutch, Wellman and Leftchuk, that's the team, isn't it, really? It's with Leon.
And how exciting to have Ed Wellman back, which can only make me think that his other show got cancelled. What happened?
Funny that you should say that. But yes, that's why I'm back.
It's harsh, but it's the business of show. What can one say?
I know. They promote me to Sunday mornings and then they demote me back. No, they promote me back.
Yeah,
it's
joyous stuff, you see. It's celebrating the happiness. Gabriella was very excited that you were back on air.
You're the real life Alan Partridge, basically, Ed. I mean, you start up high and then
One of our young reporters who is working here today brought in the Alpha Papa DVD for me to take and watch tonight.
Oh.
So that's what I should be doing.
And not Lawrence of Arabia.
I watched it.
I knew that was going to come up. Spinal Tap. Whatever.
No, I watched Alpha Papa this past week, and you'll hear my thoughts on next Monday's Chillpack Hollywood Hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, okay.
You see, that's the quality of that. But, you know, the listener is clearly excited almost beyond belief, not as excited as they were with respect to Tara Bennett and Stephanie Kramer being on the show, and of course Gabriella Peralta. But what did Phil Leonis make of the program?
It was outstanding background accompaniment for all the computer work that I've been doing.
Well, we are. Outstanding background accompaniment for computer work. Not as snappy as I would have liked in terms of a quote, so it's, but, you know.
You're going to put it on the poster. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
That's going to be an excerpt quote on the poster.
We'll certainly ensure that's fitted in to the sequence, because, and you know, I do have you in mind, Phil, as the director who, obviously, I'll be pitching with Tara Bennett, should actually work on the movie version of Dee Dee McCall meets Rocket Raccoon.
I don't even have any idea what language you're speaking right now.
Rocket Raccoon, classic Guardians of the Galaxy character, emerged in 1976. The Bicentennial, of course, as we mentioned.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie yet. Now, have you seen The Guardians?
No, but I've seen the clips and I've read the comic books and I've focused myself on the whole essence, and I still feel, in the words of Tara Bennett, that getting Rocket Raccoon together with Stephanie Kramer reprising her character of Dee Dee McCall, that's got to be a winner.
I think less time spent reading comic books, more time watching the TV series that your guests appeared in, you'd be better prepared for the interview.
I think here am I trying to build these bridges, and life continues in its own way.
Yeah, because and really,
don't have this challenge with Lily Holloman.
Everybody's glad that you're building these bridges, because gosh knows Marvel needs all the help they can get.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, I figured you'd be impressed with the Comic-Con and the San Diego stuff. Well worth catching the views of Richard Edwards on Comic-Con this year. It comes out Parsec, which of course goes out this Sunday. When, Ed?
11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11 a.m., which in Los Angeles time is actually it's 3 a.m. in the morning. So you probably have to catch the podcast, go to the podcast. Or it goes out on a Sunday. Anyway.
Tuesday night is 7. Well, the other thing is Tuesday.
I bet
7.
Phil has never even encountered Parsec. It's into volume 6 now, a monthly show we put together with Dave Milling, which is hardcore science fiction and fandom stuff. Why would he?
You know, the podcast awards, the annual podcast awards for excellence in podcasting, if there is such a thing, are called the Parsecs.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was part of the strategy that I sort of thought might be a double sort of message. That's one of the reasons why Lo-Fi said,
"Hey, Alex, it's Joe West and Jamie Teacher from the band Lo-Fi."
And we just want to take a moment to thank you so much for playing our new single, Vintage Heart. Really means a lot to us.
Thanks, man. See you soon.
It gets me in a kind of Elvis Presley way, that. You know, I sense
it. Really, it was outstanding, because every time you thought he was done, he said more.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly,
yes.
So.
And that was totally an Elvis on stage comedy style. Like, I remember as a kid, I had a vinyl album called Elvis Presley Fooling Around on Stage. Mm. And he would tell these stories, and you never knew when the story was going to start. You never knew if they were going to end. You never really knew if they had a point. But I remember one time he said, when I started out in this business back in 1927, I think it was, no. I had three instruments. And I'm taking out all the pauses, by the way. I had three instruments. I had a guitar, a shaky leg, another guitar, and another shaky leg. No. And this is a whole album. It's him just doing this and lulling you into these pauses. So I can only imagine what it was like to actually get to see him in concert.
Probably a truly amazing and wonderful experience. So, Phil, how much can you reveal about the exciting things that you're involved with, as well as post-production on The Lady Killers? Is it a case of I'm sworn to silence, I need to obviously sort of just focus on this, or can you let snippets of goodies emerge across the Atlantic in a kind of post-San Diego Comic-Con-esque way?
Oh, wow, there's a lot of pressure on that. You know what, I've got so much going on that I can't possibly remember what I'm sworn to secrecy on anyway, so I always find it's just better to be an open book. All weekend long, the producer of The Truth Is Out There Too, Ancient Mysteries, was in town, and we were going through all the footage and really ironing out our plan for where we go from here, where we shoot. We'll have trips planned to Scotland, to Italy, to northern France, to Egypt, to Mexico, to Florida, to Vermont, to Quebec. And that sounds like such a large amount of work to do, and indeed it is. But at the same time, we're probably already more than halfway through what we need to shoot for the film. So that's terribly exciting, and I think we'll be able to, within the next couple weeks, really lay the groundwork so that the balance of the year is spent shooting that. And the time that I'm not spending shooting that, of course, will be hopefully completing Lady Killers, which is behind schedule. So now, instead of feverishly trying to get it finished in time for a really key deadline, now the energy goes towards feverishly trying to suck up to the people who can create a new deadline for us. And we'll see what happens. But as slow as this process seems to be, and in some ways it seems to be grinding to a halt, I then am bolstered by, for example, having a scoring session with this week with our composer, and the work is outstanding, and it really reminded me of what I need to stay focused on, which is that the work is really strong and people are really going to enjoy this. And then earlier this morning, I was in a visual effects session, and I know you know something about the film, but a lot of people's reaction is, wait a minute, you have visual effects in this dark comedy? Why would there be visual effects?
Do you have a car chase, Phil? Because this is, I mean, you know, bearing in mind our Hunter celebration that we've kind of echoed in this show, it's important you have a car chase and preferably lots of skids.
I think we have neither car chases nor skids. We do have quite a bit of action, but it's one of these films where hopefully when you see the credit in the end credits and you say, wait a minute, visual effects team, there were visual effects in that, because those are the best ones. Those are the ones that you, I think, you know, there is no suspension of disbelief involved. You actually think it's the real world. You actually think it was all done in camera. And I think there's too little of that these days where we can really go, oh my gosh, this is really unfolding the way that I'm seeing it.
Can we just get into that a little bit more, Phil? Are there any cars at all in Lady Killers?
Are there cars?
There are.
Automobiles?
Do they have drivers? Do they have drivers?
There are drivers. There are cars.
Because we've just had it announced today that by January 2015 in
driverless
the UK,
cars.
We'll have cars on our roads with no blinking drivers.
Driverless cars.
I mean,
it's important.
I think you should write this into your next production, a car without a driver.
Well, no, because how can I put this in a delicate way? The sex scenes that take place in cars in my movie won't be nearly exciting if the people aren't driving while doing it.
Well, J.G. Ballard would probably beg to differ, as indeed would the whole crash scenario. But, you know, let's not go there, because it did feature Holly Hunter, and what a fine soul she actually is. It's just a thought there. But, yeah,
that's an interesting movie. That is an interesting film.
Oh, well, exactly. And something we would not endorse on the Midweek Drive, for obvious reasons. Whether it's the Midweek Drive as in its naked form, or whether it's 107.3...
Drive.
Midweek. One of those things on Siren 107.3 FM.
Instead of just being totally saucy in my response to Ed, you know, we have had the technology for quite some time for things like, you know, cars that drive at least some of the time on a kind of a magnetized system. And there are places where I absolutely do not understand why we haven't put them in place, especially in the U.S., where we have such long stretches in the West Coast between cities or between any kind of development whatsoever. It really seems like, wow, these ought to be grids that run entirely automatically, where the car switches over automatically. It would be safer, and of course the roads themselves could be solar panels that are constantly regenerating themselves. So I don't know why we don't.
Well, presumably because, again, you've got the opportunity, if you have a driverless car, to engage in various sort of gunplay activity as well, whilst you're not worrying about the sort of wheel.
It just is not possible. It is not. You've lost your document on your computer. In other words, your computer has deleted something. Oh. I spent today wrestling against our system, where a program that we need all day, every day, has uninstalled itself yet again.
No.
Now, at this kind of level,
cheeky little binary
I am
digits.
Not going to put myself in a car on the A46 and tank it over to Newark with the car in charge, because I ain't going to trust it. But that's just me.
Well, I think it needs to, you know, we've had these we've had a system in place for a long time where everything is automatic, though it can be quite easily restored to manual human control, and those are called airplanes. So it strikes me that such a system might be wise in terms of cars. I mean, especially if there was some kind of interactive technology that was intuitive enough to know, okay, this driver is falling asleep. There's got to be some way, right? I mean, like, maybe it's the car is able to track your respiration, maybe your heart rate, whatever. I don't know. Or when someone is having a health problem while driving, wouldn't this be extraordinary if the car had a fail-safe to at least come to a stop safely?
You are convincing me, Mr. Leonis. You're convincing me. What about driverless radio studios? We could have a radio studio here. We could just
Capital
stay,
FM, isn't it? Oh, sorry. Other radio stations are available.
You mean what we call radio here in the US?
Well, yes.
Yeah, best not hope progress that too far along the way. Tomorrow morning, Midweek Drive Morning Edition, just after midnight, of course, in Los Angeles, we have the head vet at Battersea Dogs Home. And, of course, it looks after cats as well, Battersea's Dogs and Cats Home. That's Sean Opperman will be joining us, Brian Faulkner, talking about how you can care for your pet when it's a little bit warm outside and how you should care for your pet. Richard Fitzwilliams gives us his view. It's a couple of thumbs up. There we are. Reveal on Guardians of the Galaxy. Excellent stuff. Susie Perry will talk about how more people actually change their relationship than change their toaster. Actually, most people have actually got toasters for longer times than their relationships have lasted, which is quite interesting and slightly bizarre, but still raises that whole issue about cars and so on. Wayne Kennedy will be talking about the Rat Pack show that's coming to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and Alice Lawson will be talking about the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. Only a matter of weeks now, Ed, before we're there.
I'm working on the excitement. I'll get there.
A whole heap of other goodies there, including Tiki Daleks and much more. Alan Stevens will be joining us from the Forest of Dean. William Sitwell will be joining us as well from the part of London that actually deals with good gastronomy. And the Rivars will be talking about Beautiful Girl, a Geordie band who actually sound like Geordies when they're singing Pet. So there we are, a little bit of Geordie time there for the Rivars on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which we like to feel Phil, if he's suffering from a little bit of insomnia, will tune into and actually say, what have I missed all this time between midnight and 2 a.m. in Los Angeles, even though I could download the podcast when I'm actually looking for computer stuff, which has vanished.
I think he has now as well.
And what's happening when you're actually having a pause in a kind
Elvis
of
gone.
Elvis
gone.
Oh,
Presley no, he's
way.
Not. He's there.
No,
he's
there.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to on this podcast version, which, again, I think I can find it at southsidebroadcasting.com, right?
You can. Yeah, nice, yeah.
Or Podbean?
Either will take you there. The southsidebroadcasting.podbean.one is quick. Actually, you can go to sirenonline.co.uk and simply go to the shows there, yeah. You might have to wait quite some time.
Yeah, no, 6 months.
It actually occurs to me that my favorite highlight of this show for the first time ever, because as you know, I am a longtime listener as well as a frequent contributor, my favorite part of the show today was actually me. And specifically the part where I heard myself saying the phrase excellence in podcasting, and that made me laugh diabolically. And so I think I'm going to need to cut that reaction out and make that a regular part of our opening on Chill Back Hollywood Hour.
And that's what you call the synchronicity of the world of entertainment. Who would have thought that the man who actually used to provide motivation for Fred Dreyer in the latter part of the TV series Hunter by playing him clips from the Fred Dreyer football career would have actually said to him, I feel as though we've just come around as one wonderful, happy family. Mike Dooley would be duly impressed. Which number would you like between 2 and 20, Phil Leonis?
This is a lot of pressure, sir. Let us go with the number four.
The number four.
There's always more than one right answer, path, person, possibility, nuance, or flavor. So insist upon none. Insisting on details always limits you. Purple moonbeam chocolate, please, the universe. P.S. Or should that be coyote ocean coffarine? Double chunky vanilla? Stop me. Desert cactus crunch?
Yes. Did you catch Lily Holliman's item last week, by the way, Phil?
No, I mean, I know Lily Holliman.
Yes.
I doubt that she shared anything that... Yes, I did. In fact, I did, because I sent her a text message afterwards telling her that it was an excellent job. Of course, I listened to the show, even while I was working. So it was outstanding, and she's shooting Shameless this week. And here's really quick, two extraordinary things about the episode of Shameless that she did not know, because when she appeared, you know, they keep these things so secretive that she did not get the script for the episode itself until the night before the episode started shooting. And so she finds out the night before it shoots that her first episode of a recurring role that she's in is written by the woman who wrote the play that was Lily's first job when Lily moved to Los Angeles some 10 years ago, the job that got her great reviews and got her management and representation. And this was completely a coincidence. It was not the writer, the cast, or indeed writers in television, unless they're the showrunners, don't have a lot of authority and power over those things. So it just was a wonderful happenstance. And then the other thing that's quite exciting is that another character was not written out entirely, but was downsized a great deal during the week so that all of that character's material could be given to Lily to do.
And that's the level of secrecy that enables you to actually pretend that you're moving the entire house a mere 2 feet.
Hello, this is Mandy McGuire from Shameless, and you're listening to Siren FM.
But of course, that's not the American version of Shameless.
No, there's no one with an accent on Shameless at all.
Or indeed this.
Hello, Mickey McGuire from Shameless. You're listening to 107.3 FM Siren FM.
Yeah, there you see, FM Siren FM. All right, great. Still, that's just part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life. So, Ed, what are the last two questions we need to bowl to Phil Leonis at this moment in time?
Premier Director Phil Leonis with more reflections from Los Angeles. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive, sir?
I feel like we were just all of us blind as bats and out of control. So, is that a yes?
Voyage home, Phil. The voyage home. That's the important thing. Technically, out of control and blind as a bat.
Very nice. San Francisco. I was born there.
Always remember, everybody remember where we parked. We could do this for quite some time.
You did
actually.
Give us a scare when you weren't there.
We did.
Because we called 5 minutes early and we caused all that havoc.
But
given that, Phil, may we connect with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Like 168 hours.
Is that how much is in a week?
Yeah. Well, technically 167 and 30 minutes.
Not quite long enough, really, is it?
It's,
we are. Too much to talk again.
Oh, well, okay. Yes, of course. I've got nowhere else to go.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's not Officer and a Gentleman. It's Phil Leonis, director, and his classic work. This is a fantastic tune by Naughty Boy, featuring Sam Romans. Home. Ed, you enjoyed the show?
I have done. Thank you very much. See you in the morning.
Driveway on the street where we met. I'd take a thousand memories on the road with you.